For a staggering sum of money, Cleopatra's father had secured the official designation, friend and ally of the Roman people. His daughter would discover that it was not sufficient to be a friend to that people and their Senate. It was essential to befriend the most powerful Roman of the day. That made for a bewildering assignment in the late Republic, racked by civil wars. They flared up regularly throughout Cleopatra's lifetime, pitting a succession of Roman commanders against one another in what was essentially a hot-tempered contest of personal ambition, twice unexpectedly decided on Egyptian soil. Each convulsion left the Mediterranean world shuddering, scrambling to correct its loyalties and redirect its tributes. Cleopatra's father had thrown in his lot with Pompey the Great, the brilliant Roman general on whom good fortune seemed eternally to shine. He became the family patron. He also entered into a civil war against Julius Caesar, just as, across the Mediterranean, Cleopatra ascended to the throne. In the summer of 48 BC, Caesar dealt Pompey a crushing defeat in central Greece. Pompey fled to Egypt to be stabbed and decapitated on an Egyptian beach. Cleopatra was 21. She had no choice but to ingratiate herself with the new master of the Roman world. She did so differently from most other client kings, whose names, not incidentally, are forgotten today. For the next years, she struggled to turn the implacable Roman tide to her advantage, changing patrons again after Caesar's murder, ultimately to wind up with his protege Mark Antony. From a distance, her reign amounts to a reprieve. Her story was essentially over before it began, although that is, of course, not the way she would have seen it. With her death, Egypt became a Roman province. It would not recover its autonomy until the 20th century. Can anything good be said of a woman who slept with the two most powerful men of her time? Possibly, but not in an age when Rome controlled the narrative. Cleopatra stood at one of the most dangerous intersections in history, that of women and power. Clever women, Euripides had warned hundreds of years earlier, were dangerous. A Roman historian was perfectly happy to write off a Judean queen as a mere figurehead and, 6 pages later, to condemn her for her reckless ambition, her indecent embrace of authority. A more disarming brand of power made itself felt as well. In a 1st century BC marriage contract, a bride promised to be faithful and affectionate. She further vowed not to add love potions to her husband's food or drink. We do not know if Cleopatra loved either Antony or Caesar, but we do know that she got each to do her bidding. From the Roman point of view, she enslaved them both. Already it was a zero-sum game. A woman's authority spelled a man's deception. Asked how she had obtained her influence over Augustus, the first Roman emperor, his wife purportedly replied that she had done so by being scrupulously chaste herself, doing gladly whatever pleased him, not meddling with any of his affairs, and, in particular, by pretending neither to hear of nor to notice the favorites that were the objects of his passion. There is no reason to accept that formula at face value. On the other hand, Cleopatra was cut from very different cloth. In the course of a leisurely fishing trip under a languid Alexandrian sun, she had no trouble suggesting that the most celebrated Roman general of the day tend to his responsibilities.